Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 205.
This week on the podcast, literally, just stop shooting people, you assholes.
No wonder they never give California contested primaries. We totally fucked it up.
And now is the time for politicians who enjoy having jobs to kiss the ring.
Unless that ring is gaudy and gold-plated, in which case they'll just wink at it.
And now conspiracy theories are legitimately coming true in Clinton Emailgate 2016.
Plus, Donald Trump ramps up for a windfall of establishment money and a windfall of hypocrisy.
And it's the most wonderful time of the year, Bilderberg, the getaway for the wannabe Illuminati. FYI, Beyonce will not be in attendance.
We'll have all this and more.
This is Brain Trust Live. Hey guys, I'm Brent.
I'm Lila, and you can find us on the web at www.braintrustlive.com.
That's right.
And you can find us crying in our closets, too.
God, I know.
You know, this was turning out to be an interesting news week. We had some good stories for you here.
We did. And then
today,
wake up to a text from my mother telling me that she loves me. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
So had to take to the internet to find out that we've set our record for most people killed at one time.
Woo-hoo!
In America.
Yay, we
success.
Did
success. Failure,
record setters.
Actually.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm sure that if you live in America, you've,
yes,
heard, about
you've heard about this
shooting at Pulse nightclub,
yes,
in Orlando.
Yes.
That may or may not be a terrorist attack. There's still a lot of questions
right
out right now.
We know that Omar Mateen, who is the person who
committed the shooting,
who has also been killed now in,
yes,
a hostage standoff because he,
right,
took hostages in the nightclub.
He went real Paris nightclub style.
Yeah. But we know that he had previously been questioned for potential terrorist ties in the past, and also we know that about 20 minutes before he committed this crime, he called the police and told them his name and then professed his allegiance to ISIS.
Right.
But obviously, he wasn't a part of ISIS. He hadn't traveled out of the country.
Yeah, it's another one of these. It's like
another,
the San Bernardino shooter.
Bernardino.
It's like a guy, like an American guy.
Lone wolf situation.
Yeah, which is what, by the way, all of our shootings are.
Well, that's.
So that's, I,
yes,
I
that's
feel
true.
Like the definition, yes, of terrorism, this, I think, more proves that what we describe as terrorism and then describe as lone wolf phenomenons in the,
right,
when it's white men are the same thing.
Well, right.
Those are terrorist attacks,
yes,
too. James Holmes and Dylan Roof and,
right,
all those guys are terrorists.
They're all sort of ascribing to some sort of
hostile ideology.
Hostile ideology.
And they're killing people because
by themselves.
Right, exactly.
Right.
And that's kind of what this guy did. But what's sort of frustrating about this is that the FBI has questioned him in 2013, 2014,
right,
got a phone call from him 20 minutes before this happened.
Yeah.
And somehow, despite the fact that he had been repeatedly questioned for possible terrorist activities, he was able to obtain, like, all the same weaponry that James Holmes used,
right,
when he shot up Aurora.
That's right. Yeah, and he had been spoken to by the FBI in regards to, like, possible ties to
ISIS.
To a suicide bomber.
Yeah.
So it's not as if we shouldn't have known about this.
I know.
Guy.
Well, this is cute. Like, there are some layers to this. Now, obviously, there's probably a lot of, like, not legitimate terrorist suspects that
I'm
are getting,
sure,
questioned
the
just because they have an Arab name or something.
Dead-end suspects
all over the place.
All the time.
They can't,
yeah,
obviously keep track of everyone, even though that's their job.
Right.
But the sort of larger question is how someone in that position also was able to obtain weaponry.
Yes.
Even after he'd been questioned multiple times over,
yes,
these issues. And then on top of that was able to call 911 announcing his plan and then still carry it out.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of questions.
Yeah.
And then oddly, his father said that he was not driven by religious ideology, but was just homophobic, basically.
Oh, yeah. Because he said he was...
Because it was a gay club.
Yeah, it was
that
a
he
gay club,
shot up.
Right. And he was scandalized by,
yes,
two men kissing,
well,
when he was
nothing
visiting Miami.
Is
at
more
point
horrifying,
I mean,
than seeing two men, right, kissing in Miami. Like, don't go to Miami.
Gonna...
What is your deal here?
I know, right?
Well, that's,
they
Brent and I were talking
Speedos
about this
too
earlier.
That's,
well, right,
worse.
That's, I, two men not kissing in Speedos is way worse than two men kissing. We were talking about this earlier because there was sort of a close call at the LA Pride Parade, which was today, where,
yes,
this guy with explosives in his car was, like, trying to come and, like, bomb the parade, basically.
Right,
like,
I don't
shoot
think
up the parade.
Story probably got a lot of national...
No, I doubt
I don't
that
know,
story got
a
lot of national
praise.
It was
a discussion here because everybody was like,
well, because
are we
you
having
said
Pride today?
The military, the LAPD with all,
oh, yeah,
their military
thought,
gear was,
yeah,
at Pride
they,
this year.
Because they beefed up security. But,
yeah,
yeah, there was a guy who had stuff to make a bomb and,
right,
and these same kind of weapons.
But there's a simple way to not have to do all this work. Because it's a lot of work to get all the bombs and the guns together and, like, have a drive from Indiana to get here.
Yeah,
and
this guy who was coming to Pride here, it's like, if you hate Indiana so much, it's just like, just stay in Indiana.
Right, like, if you hate gays so much,
yeah,
you don't come to Pride.
No, don't.
That's where all the gays are.
Right. You'll definitely see men kissing at Pride.
Yeah, I mean, if that is a disturbance to you,
you'll definitely
no
see
matter
men
what kind
kissing
of terrorist you are.
Pulse nightclub.
Yeah, exactly. Like, those are places to stay away from if you hate gays.
That's right.
If you are worried that gay people are going to hell themselves, but you are not worried that by committing a terrorist activity, you are going to hell,
yeah,
then rethink your ideology right now.
Yeah.
It's the wrong one. This also, though, the fact that his father said this sort of, because this was sort of a weird intersection between American bigotry and sort of ISIS-style, like, you know, big, like, larger religious bigotry.
Well, right.
And also between American gun culture and, like, ISIS-style terrorism.
Yes. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
something about the fact that his father brought this up makes me think that he didn't grow up in the most gay-friendly house and that he was not in the most gay-friendly right. community. And that, because no. I know plenty of people who are Muslim who don't hate gays. Like,
right.
I know that
yes.
the religious ideology is not necessarily supportive of gays, but
correct.
Just like with Christianity, people practice different kinds
yes, that's
of
true.
Islam.
I
and
go to a Christian church that is fine with gays, but generally,
Brent left
as a whole,
Christian church
wanna...
that wasn't. I mean, that's the Methodist church still is not marrying gays.
That's true.
You know, like yeah. this is like with any religion.
Marrying gays and wanting to kill them though is
well, of course.
But yes,
but I'm saying, like,
I know exactly what you're saying. Yeah.
In America,
right,
you have to be Muslim and deal with it because that is what it is to live in a pluralist, you know,
yes.
society.
Yeah.
So there are plenty of people who are practicing Islam
right.
and not
and
actively just, trying to kill gay people.
Correct.
That
yes.
is a, but there are also plenty of people who are practicing non-Islam religions who are.
Who are,
so
yes.
this is sort of like an interesting intersection
yes,
to American yep. fundamentalism and American religious radicalism
yep.
that is broader than just what Islam tells
and
you.
And American access to guns.
And then also American access to guns,
right.
which is also broader than what anyone should have anywhere in the world.
Right.
But I mean, like, this is sort of, that's, you know, terrorism is supposed to pick random targets so that everyone is scared. I sort of was saying to Brent earlier, like, this was not a random target. This was, like, somebody who hated gays who shot
right,
up a gay nightclub.
This
is not really in a sort of, this is not ISIS style in the traditional sense because they want to spread rampant fear among everybody.
Right.
And if you are in America and you are part of a religious fundamentalist group that also hates gays, you weren't like, well, I'm scared. You were like,
that's right.
Good
yeah.
for
oh,
him.
That.
You know, like, this is a different kind of bigotry
yes.
being expressed.
I think
it's not about rampant fear.
I think the lieutenant governor of Texas I was reading earlier today
yeah.
tweeted something to that effect. Like,
right.
Something like, and he immediately took it down, but he was like, you reap what you sow.
Exactly.
So this was like, this was regardless of whether it was technically, you know, using air quotes, a
right.
terrorist attack or not. There was
well,
just an odd...
There's a lot of planes flying over.
yeah.
No, but I mean, this was a terrorist attack because
was,
all of these shootings are terrorist
well, right,
attacks.
Well, right, exactly. But it was certainly a hate crime.
It was a hate crime, though,
yeah.
too. Yeah, and that is distinct, I think, from just putting its roots in terrorism. And that's why I'm sort of... I'm apprehensive about putting its roots specifically in terrorism because I think that there is a larger American issue to address here that we can do something about that is not about rampant, directionless
yeah.
fear, that is about the fact that our political rhetoric and our sort of public discussion takes place in an environment where there are people who, of all religions, who feel this way.
Well, and I would prefer to think of it and to speak of it in terms of it being a hate crime, because I think that if we talk about it in terms of it being a terrorist attack, then I think that we write off the fact that it was a hate crime and that this, you know, gay people still have to worry about this. Not and not necessarily, like, they don't have to worry about, like, being shot at a nightclub. But, I mean, just in the sense that, like...
Right, they have to worry about bigotry.
If we say that this was a terrorist attack, then we're not going to also discuss, like, how sometimes it's fearful for gays to go outside.
I think also...
And you have to talk... about it as a hate crime to think of it in that
term. We can't solve this problem by invading another country in the Middle East.
Right.
We can't solve this problem by suppressing radical ideology in the Middle East. We can really only solve it by a domestic discussion about how we treat and think about any minority group.
Correct.
Because this is obviously
yep.
these terrorist attacks have targeted numerous kinds of minority
it
groups.
Has,
there was
yes.
a hate the Charleston shooter was a hate crime as well.
Yeah,
he was killing black
yeah,
people,
black
which
people.
Is our own police force is doing that as well. I mean, we
yeah.
have bigger problems with that
right.
than just lone wolf attackers. But I mean, I think that if we sort of get all worked up because this is like some sort of like ISIS plan.
Right.
This is certainly a guy who was troubled and living in the U.S. and was Muslim.
Totally. Yes.
But just as Christians are often carrying out these attacks in the name of Christianity, even though no Christian church has like sent them to go deliver
right.
these attacks.
Yeah.
This is a problem that has to do with how living, you know, with the larger American discussion, and is not something that we, when if we talk about it as a hate crime and we talk about it as domestic terrorism, then we are empowered to do something about it. That's not just be panicked.
Yeah.
Because we shouldn't. This is we shouldn't panic about this. We can fix this.
Yeah.
This guy didn't have to have access to these guns. He didn't have to hate gays. He didn't have to do. He didn't have to not be caught after three rounds with the FBI being questioned. Yep. I mean, we could have fixed this.
Yes.
This was not just like, this was not, you know, 9/11, which we could have fixed, but we were like unprepared.
Right.
You know, we didn't know that that was a thing that could happen here.
Yeah.
We know this happens here all the time.
I know. We can pass the laws and have the appropriate discussions to
deal with this guy, fundamentalism or not, whatever religion he is, didn't have to shoot up this nightclub and we could have stopped him.
Yeah.
It wasn't like we could have just like, and we don't have to stop ISIS to stop him.
No, we don't.
We only have to stop ourselves.
Yeah.
So that's what I think this discussion is probably going to get a little sidetracked because of the vague connections to ISIS. But these are self-proclaimed connections for the most part.
Yeah, that's
they're
true.
Not. Yeah.
We don't know if he ever spoke to anyone who's actually in ISIS
also,
ever in his life.
We don't know. Exactly. We don't know.
It doesn't matter if he did.
If he was speaking to them, but the conversation was just, how was your uncle? Then that's not
that's
enough.
Not
that
it.
Doesn't make you shoot up a nightclub. What makes you shoot up a nightclub is being in a community and environment where it's acceptable to hate gays. And that is a larger American problem that's not about Islam. It's about, you know, it's about a larger discussion.
Yep.
And, you know, it's also being in an environment where you can have guns.
Yep.
So,
yep.
In any case, I'm pretty sure that the national discussion on this is not going to be appropriate to the,
I think
to
you're
the
probably right.
content of the shooting.
Yes.
And that also we still, I have gotten to the point where I cannot feel like especially enraged or ruffled by these anymore because I don't have the mental energy. Yeah. And I'm scared of everything.
I know.
All the things. But I just like, I don't think I could go through my daily life if I had to sort of like really think about these shootings too much.
I know.
It's like after Newtown, I was like, I can't go through this again.
Yeah.
So like, I can talk about them from a policy perspective. I know we're empowered to do something about them. I am supporting the policies that we are empowered to do something about them with.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of like, you guys, I'm not even sad anymore. I'm just sort of annoyed.
Yeah.
Like, I can't be sad anymore about these. We're letting them happen. We're making it happen. They're sad because it's sad when people die. But, like, I can't find it in my... The sadness is not the response I have anymore.
Yeah.
I just get annoyed now.
Yep.
I'm just like, God damn it, newspaper.
I know.
I just get mad at the newspaper a lot.
You're right, exactly.
I'm just like, if the news reports it, I'm like, come on. LA Times.
Don't tell me that.
Don't tell me this shit.
Yeah.
So, I liked it better when we weren't hearing about them anymore. We know they're happening, so I don't know why we need to hear about them.
So let's...
Moving on to another tragedy.
Let's fix this, America. Let's also fix this,
California,
America, because
you guys, we really fucked this one up.
Yeah, we did.
There's reasons too, I think, that we fucked it up that are not just our fault.
Right, because we're now going to get into the final results of the Super Tuesday that we just had.
Yeah,
we're going to start with California because that's where we live, and
that's
the one that we care the most about, and that was the one that seems to be the most fucked up out of all.
Right. Also,
the results, as you may have heard, it was Hillary Clinton in a
by
landslide.
12 points.
In a landslide. But we're going to tell you why that may not necessarily be the case.
Right.
Now, she may still very much have won,
she may have won
California.
For sure.
We're not necessarily yet disputing that, although I would like to dispute that, certainly.
Of course.
But yes, the overall, the result was 56% to 43%. That's a difference of about 400,000 votes.
Yeah. Now, she got almost 2 million votes, and he basically got 1.5 million votes.
Right.
She got a little under 2 million votes. There are 2.5 million ballots that were never counted because basically every person who walked into the election, you know, to a polling place and wasn't, like, signed up correctly for whatever reason, whether it was that they just signed up, whether it was that their address was wrong, whatever, was handed a provisional ballot.
And they have not been counted.
And they have not been counted. And that happened all over the place. I saw it happen at my polling place.
Oh, yeah.
I went and canvassed for Bernie that day, and
would,
I saw it happen at other polling places
as well.
Well,
you would have to think that a lot of those people are Bernie voters, those provisional ballots, because those are people
who
changed.
It
was first-time voters and people
who
changed to be able to get to no-party identification from whatever they, you know, were previously registered.
So this means that, like, a third of the votes were not counted at all, and most of those would skew towards Sanders.
Yes, and he's only down by 400,000 points.
So,
I mean, we're going to get to the, you know, discussion of this campaign being basically over at this point anyway, so I don't think anybody is necessarily going to, you know, even if this gets flipped or it gets much closer, I don't know that it's going to necessarily
change the
national narrative on this, but it's frustrating that the narrative that came out of it was that she won in a blowout when we haven't counted, you
most
know,
of our votes.
2 million votes.
I know. Well, this, I also feel like if you're going to be a mail-in ballot place, because a lot of our ballots, or a lot of people vote by mail here, I want you to have a better answer.
Right? Because that's the thing. Results. Like, you know, a lot of people want to go. The other votes that haven't been counted besides the provisional ones are the mail-in ones that were dropped off on the day.
Yeah.
Because you can do that. And actually now California is also accepting mail-in ballots up to 3 days after. So there may actually maybe more votes uncounted than the ones that they're saying right now, than the 2.5 million.
Yeah.
There may actually be more because they're taking up to 3 days after. And right. Those aren't reflected in that 2.5 million number. So... there are a lot of votes yet to be counted. And yeah, like if you're going
to
have...
And they're votes
if you're
that
gonna
would
have
tend to skew yeah. towards newer voters.
Yes,
and
if you're going
to
have mail-in ballots, you have to have a way to count them. Because
yeah.
the other chunk of what supposedly are uncounted are mail-in ballots that were dropped off on the day.
Yeah, but also if you're going to have an election, you should have your fucking lists in order so that people aren't handed... They were really giving them out like candy. Like the provisional ballot thing
yeah.
was... happening all over the place. I heard tons of reports while I was at the
right,
Bernie
well,
headquarters.
I was seeing,
but
I
saw it multiple times in my own polling place in the 10 minutes that
I
was there.
I saw people posting pictures of it all over the place mm-hmm. too. And like, and they were, I was, you know, I'm a lot of Bernie groups or whatever. And they were right. like, they were posting on Facebook, but of course not everybody was seeing these things, but like, don't take those.
Yeah.
Like,
don't
tell
accept
them,
a provisional
like,
ballot. Force, like make them let you vote.
Right. And this is why.
And
because they're not going to count
that provisional
ballot.
The Millenville, tons of people that I know who it turned out. Were, and maybe some of this was the result of these election rolls not being properly updated, but found out that they weren't registered as Democrats as they had thought and were registered with parties that meant that they couldn't vote in the primary.
Ugh.
I have multiple friends that had this problem.
Yeah.
Which is frustrating, A, because guys,
check.
Don't register for a party called the Independent Party.
Independent Party, right.
You can register for yeah. no party, but here's another piece of wisdom just for future reference.
Yeah.
It's better to vote in the primary of a major party than anything else.
Right.
That's the only way that you get the power to make sure that the major candidates align with your beliefs.
Yeah.
You can vote for a third party candidate in the general. We do that all the time. I mean, I'm not like, I haven't minced words about how I'm probably going to vote for Jill Stein in the general. I'm
right.
not suggesting that you don't have the ability to vote for an independent yeah. candidate of some sort later on. But when it comes to the primary process, your only voice is really with the major parties.
Yeah.
You might as well register yeah. with one of them.
And I don't, I'm not, you know, it should be as easy as walking into your polling place and voting.
Of
and
course.
It should be totally mindless. And I don't want to, I don't want to blame voters because voters shouldn't have to
no.
ever be blamed.
But also know your local election laws.
Know your local election laws. And knowing if you were a person who was going to vote for Bernie Sanders and you've watched any one of the 45 states that have voted previously,
yeah.
then... check to see your registration before you walk into the polling place.
Yeah.
Like, just give it the old
college
Secretary of State, you know, just
try
7 seconds to
yeah.
see what your registration looks like before you attempt to go vote. Like,
yeah.
So next time, let's aim for that next time.
In any
everybody.
Case, by early next week, we're expecting to see some slightly different numbers in
yes.
this primary. So these numbers, I mean, I don't really know. I think that sort of wisdom would have you suggest that Sanders voters are more likely to have been in this situation because they were younger and less
yeah.
experienced and they were, you know,
correct.
They're probably more likely to be newly registered.
Yeah.
But I'm honestly have no idea what's going to happen because I'm so shocked by this result that I don't have words.
Well, it's different than all of the polls.
I mean, no poll showed anything
and,
like this.
And we've seen that in other places too.
Yeah.
I mean, there have been some, you know, not.
And Bernie made up 20 point gaps in overnight in
of
some
course.
Of these places.
Yeah. So who knows? We should be keeping our eye on the actual
I'm
vote
frustrated
count.
That this would happen in California.
I know.
Like, we are a state, we have a Democratic legislature
yeah.
and we have a Democratic governor and we don't have voter suppression laws on the books here in the
yeah.
same way that they do, or new
yeah.
voter suppression laws on the books in the same way they do in other states. We're a kind of state that I feel like normally can be trusted to, like, pull our shit together
I know.
When stuff goes on.
I know. Well, and the thing that this means more for than the presidential primary is there are a lot of close state races.
Well, yeah, that's the thing is we have jungle primaries here, so our state races are quite
right.
sort of
there are
quite important at the primary,
read,
on the on primary
I there,
day.
I think there are multiple uncalled
yeah,
House and
there are.
State House races, and it's because they don't know who won.
No.
so
it's
that's
like,
frustrating.
Yeah. Our Senate primary. Oh, wait. Before we move on, though, I should yeah. note that I got to go to Bernie Sanders'
oh,
Santa
yeah,
Monica rally,
right.
and it was
and,
awesome.
And met and took a picture
and
with
I
Vermin
met Vermin
Supreme.
Supreme, you guys.
Come on.
He smelled as exactly as you would imagine.
Interesting.
He
smelled like the
smelled
boot
like,
that he's been wearing on his
exactly.
head for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, West Hollywood Jesus was there, too.
Oh, yeah.
All the greats got into this rally. I don't know. I had a hard time getting tickets, but...
You did it.
I did it.
Yeah.
And got there with me, Vermin Supreme, and West Hollywood Jesus were just hanging out. Screaming, shame on you to the media in an airport hangar.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing, too, because a lot of people were like, where were all the voters? Because, you know, we talked last week about how many people were registered and how all of the...
How many new
registrations in the last 45 days, 600,000 people or whatever, and these numbers weren't great, and it's because
the AP called the race, the larger race, the national race, the day before we voted.
And that probably suppressed voting for both sides.
Yeah.
I have a feeling a lot of Hillary people probably didn't vote because they were like, why do I need to? And a lot of Bernie people were probably like, well, fuck this shit.
Yeah. No, I mean, That was really frustrating. That was such...
You wrote some great...
I know. I spent an hour just raging on the internet.
You should check out Lila's Facebook rages. Because they're great.
They're all on Brain Trust.
She did a personal one. You did a personal one, too.
I did a personal one, too. I know.
Yeah, they're
everywhere. That one got the most likes of really anything. Also, now family members of mine are engaged in a Facebook war on my Facebook wall.
Oh, my.
So that's interesting. But yeah, I spent an hour just like raging on the internet. I was so annoyed because I had to go to Target. And I was like, it was like 7 o'clock and I was going to walk to Target and it was going to get dark at 8 and I didn't want to go after dark.
Right.
And
you're like, God, now I have to Facebook rage.
I had to Facebook rage for an hour and then I had to drive to Target. Right. Such bullshit. I was really angry about that too. I was like, why would this news drop right before I needed to go to Target?
It's maddening.
I needed toilet paper, you guys. I mean, I'm human. It's like.
What if you had to poop while you were Facebook raging?
Exactly. I mean, so many questions.
God. It's terrible.
In any case, our Senate primary went exactly as planned.
Right. It was
Kamala Harris got 40%. Loretta Sanchez got 19%.
I think that was actually wider than polling. But I mean, that's everybody knew that it was going to be those two coming into the general.
Yeah. So that was out of the 34 candidates that were running.
Right.
So
we had two Democrats running.
We had two Democrats running. That was
in
fun.
In our general in the fall.
Yeah.
Which is going to
be fun. Also, I feel like I'm hoping, and I think it's probably likely that Kamala Harris sort of just like...
buttons this
one up.
I think so too.
Loretta Sanchez is just like not as interesting to me as Kamala Harris. And I don't think she's a rising star the way that Kamala Harris is.
No.
I feel like we gain a certain amount of leverage by having a rising star senator, the way that like Massachusetts has a junior senator who is like a rock star, so they get all this extra attention.
Yeah. Well, I know a lot of Bernie people who voted for Kamala Harris. Yeah. Kamala Harris got...
I voted for her.
Kamala Harris has more votes than Hillary Clinton does.
Yeah. Yeah, people.
She got 2 million some votes in Hillary Clinton.
Unified,
at least right now has like 1.9 million. But she's loved.
People were unified in their love of Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
Well, she's great.
Yeah, So she's going to be our next senator, I think, and she's probably going to do a pretty bang up job.
I'm very relieved though that there's no Republicans in the race for this anymore.
I know.
At least whatever the worst thing that happens is Loretta Sanchez is the senator.
I know.
Like that's our worst case scenario.
I know.
And that's okay. I mean, it's not great, but it's like.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's
okay. Yeah,
things
could be worse.
Julia fucking Brownlee won her primary.
Shit.
You guys.
Come on.
We don't live in her district. We weren't able to vote against her. But we've said multiple times that it's okay to vote for a Republican against Julia Brownlee.
Yeah.
It's literally okay to vote against anybody.
If the Republicans are
going to
take
keep
the
us
House
off their email
in
list.
The fall,
yeah.
Which we've basically been nationally
they're going to
gerrymandered
forever. Yeah, they
into
have to.
That being the case, then just vote against Julia Brownlee so I can stop receiving emails from her.
I'm sick of her emails.
I don't care who she's running against.
No, doesn't
really
matter
to
me at all. If she's running against the world's most disgusting, hate-filled human being, which she probably is because that county's not so great, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's anything to save our personal sanity
when
it comes to her email list.
It has to be over.
It can't be stopped.
Yeah, she must be.
And now it's like, oh, I'm sure she's got some person in the general that she's going to have to be fundraising against to send us 1,000 emails.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, it was that this district is close.
Yeah.
This is like a district that always gets has a lot of money spent at it, which is why she's pestering us all the time. There was a recount.
Last time. 2000.
So
whatever,
it's like
14.
It is never over with her.
Never.
It's never over.
It hasn't been over even when it's
unless
been over.
We end it.
We could end it right now. We endorse whoever she's running against in the general. We don't know who it is.
It's our first endorsement.
Our first endorsement.
Outside of Bernie Sanders.
Outside of Bernie
in
Sanders
the 2016
of the season.
Race.
Yeah. We are 100% in for fill in name here who's running against Julia Brownlee
that's
in Ventura.
Yeah.
Don't care who it is.
Nope.
Don't want to know more.
Nope. That's right.
All right. But
so here's the other results.
Here are the other results.
States. South Dakota, 51
very
to 49.
Close, though.
Same amount of delegates.
Clinton won,
very
but
close.
By Clinton very little.
Won.
Yeah.
Yes. North Dakota. What's going on with the Dakotas that they would have such wildly different results? It's the same place.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, I say that as someone who doesn't have any information about either, so I assume they're the same because they're both called Dakota.
It's not like North Carolina and South Carolina. No. Or Virginia or West Virginia.
Right.
It's just one Dakota chunk that got split. Of Nowheresville
that split.
Has the same humans roaming around.
Yeah.
And less humans than cattle.
Theory.
And, yeah.
North Dakota, much closer to Canada.
Canada.
Canadians can be trusted better than people in Wyoming or whatever borders South Dakota.
But wildly different results because it was wildly very close in South Dakota, 51-49. And then it was Bernie in a blowout in North Dakota. Yeah.
He won 64-25.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Yeah.
That's... I mean, maybe the Dakotas were asserting themselves this year.
Hey,
they thought, we're not the same Dakota.
Nope, that's right.
We're going to let them know.
Yep.
Hillary also blowout in New Jersey.
Yeah.
63-37.
And that was a wider margin than...
What you want.
You want. But even the polls. I mean, she was way ahead there, but that was sort of like, when I saw that, I was, holy moly, that's ungood.
Well, they're not genius thinkers always in New Jersey.
I mean, they are electing Chris Christie.
Exactly. I mean, this is a state that has a Republican governor that's an actual asshat who was one of the first people out for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Like, that's what's going on there.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, in New Mexico, very close race Clinton won, but only is 51.5 to 48.5. So. Yeah. Quite close there. And that's a state that has some serious voter ID law situations. You have to show your ID to vote there. So, because I had a long conversation with a friend of mine who lives in New Mexico about the voting situation there. Mm-hmm. And he was sort of like concerned because he was like, you know, I think that everyone in sort of young New Mexico is in for Sanders, but there's some real voter ID.
Can they
their votes cast?
Yeah.
And so he was a little concerned about that. And I assume that probably contributed something, but I'm glad to see that it was at least close.
Yeah.
After Clinton was pre-declared the winner of the presidency on Monday night, Obama thought, hell, I'll endorse her.
Right. In a video that he recorded on Tuesday, by the way.
Yes.
Which wasn't released until Thursday, but we now know that it was recorded on Tuesday. So
men had plans.
Yes, they had plans.
Yeah. Yeah. He set out this video into the YouTubes.
Yes.
And asked,
like, a 3-minute, you know, heavily produced video.
I was listening to this other podcast, by the way, and that's, I think it's like a BuzzFeed politics podcast. I can't remember what it's called. Or it's called like No One Knows Anything or something like that. But they played a bunch of recordings of Clinton people from after the 2008 primaries talking about how they'd never vote for Barack Obama.
Oh, yeah.
And how big a movement that was. So he, in this video, says Democrats need to come together or whatever.
Yep.
And everyone in media has been blowing out about how Democrats need to come together.
Yeah.
And they're... forgetting, first of all, that, like, this is every year a discussion.
This is what happens.
This is what happens in a primary. And it's crazy to think that there's some sort of reason that Democrats can't be reasonable after the primary. But it's also crazy to blackmail voters. I mean, this is a threat. This is a threatening thing to say this.
Yeah.
So, in any case, Obama relied heavily on unity talk.
Yes.
And then said he would be campaigning with her.
Yes.
So he's going to be... he's got quite a heavy... campaign schedule coming up.
Yes, he does. He did say...
I hope he fits in time to be the president.
He did say very nice things about Sanders.
Yes.
They had met that day, which we're going to talk about in a second. But he said that he'd run an incredible campaign, and he said that his emphasis on addressing income inequality, reducing the influence of money in politics, and bringing young people into the political process would strengthen the party, which is
a nice thing to hear because that's accurate, and that's the reason we have primaries.
Right, exactly.
The primary process worked exactly it was supposed to.
Yep.
Sanders announced that he would certainly... work as hard as he could to make sure Donald Trump does not become the president.
Which
is what he's always said.
But he also said that he was looking forward to speaking to the Clinton campaign and working with her, everybody after he met with the president and then he had his press conference after meeting with the president was sort of like, you know, as the press has been telling us, like, you know, high-ranking Democrats sort of like, Tuesday was like a sigh of relief day for a lot of people. It wasn't for Sanders supporters, but for like, you know, for Chuck Schumer it was. I don't know.
I mean, he actively chose to run in the Democratic primary knowing that if this happened, he would have to deliver some votes. Like it's like crazy that they all like I know he's not registered with he doesn't caucus with the Democrats. I mean, he caucuses with them, but he's not a part of the Democratic Party in the sort of Senate life that he leads. So the fact that he actively chose to run within a major party framework would suggest that he was willing to play ball.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why they were all so panicked.
And he has always said he's not going to run as an independent. You know, we've been hearing a lot of, you know, we talk up Jill Stein all the time. She has said multiple times that her campaign has reached out to the Sanders campaign to talk to him. She hasn't heard back once.
No.
So he doesn't have any interest in talking to Jill Stein, which is, you know, frustrating to me. But, like, should be proof, I feel like, that he's not...
Yeah, that he was going
to
play ball with the Democrats the whole time. Like, I don't understand.
That was always his plan.
Well, like, that's the whole thing, though, was like bullshit threats.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm frustrated with the way the rhetoric has sought to sort of like discredit and disenfranchise his supporters.
Yeah.
Without addressing, like, first of all, that this the party was already unified. Being in an exciting race generates its own party unity.
Yeah.
We don't need to act like Democratic voters are going to vote for Donald Trump because I like.
Well, and we have always
the whole thing is crazy. It's crazy to threaten voters instead of welcome them.
Yes, exactly.
That's what I think the basis of my issue is.
And there was, you and I have talked on this podcast before about the fact that, you know, there's that stat that more people who support Sanders have said that they would be willing to vote for Clinton in 2016 than in 2008. Hillary supporters said that they were gonna, they would be willing to vote
and
for
that,
Barack Obama.
By the way, was racism.
Yes, but so I don't know why this has been. I think
because they had the same platform.
I think
this is different.
I think the thing that they were more worried about was not necessarily whether he would be able to deliver those people as voters. I think what they were worried about was his talk of the contested convention because I think that they didn't want like a huge like to do at the convention. I think they still might get it.
I think they're going to get it.
Because his delegates are wild cards anyway. Yeah. They're going to do whatever they want to do, I think, regardless of whether
also,
he tells them to
the whole
keep quiet. But
point is about the platform and strengthening the platform and making the platform reflect the concerns of Democratic voters.
Yeah.
The point is not really about who runs.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be nice if we had a candidate who wasn't heavily compromised in so many ways.
Yeah.
But the point of a sort of insurgency campaign is always to affect the discussion, not to win.
Yeah.
So,
well, and he has. I mean,
and he
for
has,
God's sake.
And
I mean,
I'm hoping he continues to. And the idea that he's like vanquished and it's over is crazy because almost half the delegates at the convention are going to be his.
Yeah.
And that's going to be something they have to live with. They, like, I feel because they didn't have to unify over the platform last time. It was just about the candidate. 2008 was just about who's going to represent this platform that we share. This is very different because they're going to have two views of what the platform is at the convention.
Yeah.
And that's where they're going to have the sort of contested, quote unquote, element of this convention is about ideas.
It's about
it's
ideas.
Not
it's
about
not
who,
gonna,
the, who support.
Right.
Who the
they're not going to try and like take over and.
No, they're not going to try to get.
Nominate him.
No,
like,
that's not what's.
Right.
That's not what the
and
issue
we should,
is. Here.
And we should be having those discussions at
of
the
course.
Convention.
Well, and that's
about
to act
ideas.
Like to act like it's sacrilegious to not to question what, you know, it's like that's like saying like well, that and, you're not a patriot for voting against George Bush.
Right.
Like you can be a patriot. And you can be loyal to the party in the way that you are loyal or a patriot.
Yeah.
In any case, I'm getting sick of the sort of like, well, we won and it's over kind of talk. Because I think while that was something that you could get away with in 2008, because like I said, didn't matter who represented that platform. Like this is, I think, a very different discussion. And that if they, that's like the difference between threatening Sanders voters and welcoming Sanders voters is the platform.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, and I think also, you know, I know that he said that he's, you know, looked forward to helping Hillary and meeting with her. And I think there's so many things that he can do that don't have, even outside of the platform, that don't have anything to do with helping Hillary. I think that there are, he's obviously a fundraising machine.
Right.
He can fundraise the shit out of anybody who needs some help
exactly.
with some money. He can help take back the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
He can probably help in a lot of House races.
Yep.
He can be a Trump attack dog without ever having to say one nice thing about Hillary if he doesn't
exactly.
want to.
Yeah.
I mean,
there
are things
he
that he can
to
do to help the party or to help, you know, even though he's, you know, as people like to say, not technically one of them. But I mean, I do think that he intends to help.
Yes. He can only help in a way that doesn't destroy his own credibility in the process.
Yes.
And that's fine.
Right.
Because he generates excitement like no one else you have in the party right now.
Yeah.
He's a 74-year-old socialist who's got the kids really fucking excited.
Yeah, that's right.
So use that.
Yeah, exactly.
Because people who show up to the polls because they want to vote for a down-ticket candidate will vote for Hillary Clinton. Like, the people who show up to the polls because they wanted to vote for Zephyr Teachout or they wanted to vote for Tim Canova or, like, one of the people
Russ Feingold,
one of the people that he's endorsed, will vote for Hillary Clinton.
Right.
He doesn't have to say a word about Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
He can help the Democrats on down-ticket races.
Yeah.
He can work against Trump. He can do all of those things that you just said. And he can do it in a way that doesn't ruin his credibility, that helps the Democrats ultimately, but probably doesn't, you know, help the establishment wing of the Democrats as much as they would like, and that's why they're kind of grumpy.
Yeah.
But overall cements a lot of these young voters
as Democrats
to the degree that the Democratic Party continues to thrive.
Yeah.
That's what you're looking for.
Exactly.
Pull your lives together, people.
Yeah, seriously.
Liz Warren endorsed Clinton this week.
She did. Yes.
So that's happening. Mm-hmm. That's over.
Sure did. Sure did. She, you know, we knew that she wasn't going to endorse anybody until after the primary was over. But I mean, just as I was watching, I watched the interview with Rachel Maddow, which is where she did it.
Made an endorsement.
And it just, you could feel that she had wanted to endorse Bernie.
Of course.
And maybe that was just my imagination, but I don't think it was.
There must have been so much pressure on her to endorse Hillary.
She was the only Democratic woman that didn't endorse Hillary. She did all sorts of, you know, mental gymnastics to explain away why she wasn't endorsing anybody. You know, she wanted to endorse Bernie, and she was afraid that she wouldn't have a job as a Democratic United States Senator if she did so any longer.
Yeah.
I'm sure she was probably had her family threatened by Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Probably.
I mean, you know, like, probably something just short of that, to be perfectly honest. I mean, they probably told her that they would not fundraise for her. They probably told, I mean, and
I'm sure. I'm positive.
This is conspiracy theory craziness, but I bet it actually happened.
No, in this case, I don't think it's conspiracy theory. That's the whole point of the DNC.
Yeah, exactly.
Is to keep people in line and threaten their fundraising if they're not in line. That's what Debbie Wasserman Schultz's job is. It's not crazy to assume that that would be the case if a candidate like Liz Warren or a senator like Liz Warren can't endorse someone who's almost directly ideologically aligned with her and instead chooses to wait it out and endorse somebody who is in the polar opposite within the party.
No.
I mean, that's not crazy talk.
No, it's not.
That is what the function of these fundraising committees is.
Yeah, of course.
That's on the Republican side, too. I mean, this is not just about the Democratic, you know, about the DNC and Debbie Wasserman Schultz being an asshat.
Right.
This is about how fundraising works within a two-party system.
Yeah. And I would contend that her being her, she doesn't need the DNC money. But, I mean,
I agree, but she has a lot. I mean, she runs in close races. Bernie Sanders basically runs unopposed. He never owed the Democrats anything because they tried to get rid of him and they couldn't do it because he's too popular.
Right.
And, like, because of that, she won a close race to get into that position. Yeah, she has a leadership position in the Senate.
Yeah, that's true.
She has things she could lose.
Those things can be threatened. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And she's a little bit of a showboater, so they would have ruined her showboating.
That's true.
You know, they give her a lot of press.
Leeway and a platform.
And leeway because they know she brings all these voters into the party. Yeah. And so without the support of the party, her showboating ways just don't really work out.
Yeah. There was a lot of talk about whether she was going to be the VP this week. And she got asked about, Rachel Maddow asked her about that. And it was in response to Ed Rendell being a fucking dick because he had said earlier in the week that she wasn't prepared to be vice president because she couldn't be president because she doesn't have the experience in foreign affairs and blah, blah, blah. So Rachel Maddow
was like,
"You
know who didn't either? Obama."
I know. But so Rachel Maddow said, "Do you feel like you could be vice president?" And she was like, "Yeah, I do." And it was like very matter of fact. And that was all she said was, yes, I do. And that was,
that was it.
She didn't go on.
Nope.
Just pretty confidently answered the question.
Yep.
In a word, yes.
And then on Friday, she had a secret meeting with Hillary Clinton.
That's
so
right.
We don't know what's going on right now.
No. And we don't know what became of that because she didn't speak to the press after she left. It was at the D.C. Clinton home.
Right.
Hillary Clinton left to go campaign and Warren left and didn't say anything to anybody. But of course, that further
fueled
the buzz. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I'm sort of interested to see, because this is something that I feel like we've often talked about, but kind of been like, I mean, this would never happen, but.
Right.
And we've even talked about, I don't think a two-woman ticket would be a problem.
No, I don't either.
But I think the Clinton people
especially against Trump.
No, exactly. I don't think that for the Democrats, there is a danger in having a two.
No,
I think
I
that
don't
the wisdom that, you know, it's unprecedented for sure. But I think we're sort of like able to sort of think that way if we choose to.
Yeah.
I don't think that it would be. If Hillary Clinton is Liz Warren, and my mom's going to be really mad at me because she's mad that Liz Warren is even in this position because she really wants Liz Warren to stay in the Senate, and I totally understand that idea.
Yeah, me too.
But I think that if two women who sort of have enough credibility to run for president are running for president, I don't see how that's different than, I mean, last time we elected like an actual like freshman senator.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see, why are two women a problem if they've served
if they
more
both
time than him and have more experience? Like, I don't see why that would be the problem.
Yeah.
The problem might be that Hillary Clinton's email situation isn't going away. The problem might be that, you know, I mean, there's problems for sure, but I don't think they're related to women.
No, I agree.
And I know that there would be a lot of sexist nonsense that would go on in that race, But I think that for the most part, the misogyny coming from the Trump side would be so overt and so ridiculous that it would be hard for men to even get on board with it. Yeah. I mean, maybe not, though. Men are asshats, too.
That's true.
I think, as I say sometimes, it's statistically probably more dangerous for me to sit in this room with Brent than it is to be with any sort of other group of people that are not men in anywhere in the world.
Yes. No, it's true.
I mean, that's... Yeah. Statistically speaking, Brent is the most dangerous person in this room.
More chance of me shooting you than...
than really anyone else. So...
Yeah.
So that's something we like to remind people as they go in to vote for a female president.
Right.
Whether that be Jill Stein or Hillary Clinton.
That's right. Yes.
But also, Biden finally endorsed this week.
Yes.
He had also been waiting.
Yeah.
A bunch of undeclared superdelegates endorsed. A lot of them, the smart ones, were waiting until there was a nominee before they made their votes known.
Unlike the 400 that got on board before anybody was even running.
Yeah. That made the process seem powerful.
You know who hasn't got on board yet?
Al Gore.
Al Gore, who is a superdelegate, obviously.
Here's the thing about Al Gore. He really hates the Clintons. Al Gore does not like Hillary Clinton. They did not get along when they were in the White House. That was famously a problem because she basically took the role that he was supposed to have.
Yeah.
And he was just like a know-nothing vice president that no one cared about. And then when he finally ran, he got only bad advice, clearly, and he was an idiot candidate and wasn't able to win after winning. He literally won Florida and lost somehow. I don't even know how he did it. Ralph Nader actually had an interesting article in the LA Times today, an op-ed about spoilers and the nature of spoilers and how there is no such thing as a spoiler in a democracy.
Yeah,
that a two-party system we were not conceived as a two-party system. We did not always have two parties in this country. We don't need to be a two-party system. And to blame someone like Ralph Nader or any third-party candidate or a Bernie Sanders type figure for spoiling a race where you can't get voters to vote for you because you're an idiot is not a real thing.
I agree.
There's no such thing as a spoiler candidate. There's just a candidate that people liked better.
People liked better than the other guy.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, in any case, that was interesting.
Yeah.
Ralph Nader still trying to protect his legacy after all these years. Also,
He should try every day to protect his legacy.
Ralph Nader, still the most derided man who did nothing in presidential politics.
I know.
The man got like 5% of the vote, you guys.
Yeah.
He didn't get... Al Gore
just had... Can we deride Al Gore for picking Joe Lieberman as vice president?
And
or for losing Tennessee, his home state?
Worst candidate?
Or for being the most boring person ever to
walk
run
the face
for
of the
public
earth?
Office? I mean...
No, I mean, like, why... Like, we can blame him
Ralph
for being
Nader?
A bad candidate, but we're going to blame some guy who got 5% of the vote?
No.
Not even 2% of the
vote. Yeah.
We're going to blame instead the guy who literally got more votes in Florida and still somehow lost the presidency.
I know.
That guy is the guy we're not going to blame.
Yeah. Let's blame Florida. We should do.
Well, we should blame Florida for a lot.
There's a lot
going on in Florida.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Meanwhile, here's an interesting thing we found out this week.
On the day
by accident.
That we got the presidential endorsement on Thursday, about an hour after that, there was a press conference where Josh Earnest, the press secretary, was asked whether Obama should be endorsing a candidate who was still under investigation by the FBI and by, you know, people that work for him, basically.
Exactly. Let's just read the quote.
His response. Here's the quote in response.
He said, "And that's why the president, when discussing this issue in each stage, has reiterated his commitment to this principle that any criminal investigation should be conducted independent of any sort of political interference."
The very, very, very first time that this has been referred to
as a criminal investigation.
Because they went back and they looked. They went back through all of the press briefings and anything like that. And that is the first time that that has been said. Most people thought it was a serious inquiry. Yes. Most people assume that that was accidental on Josh Earnest's part because he probably wasn't supposed to be coming out with that information.
No.
But of course, Republicans ran
lost
with
their
it.
Shit.
And probably rightly
so.
I mean, because the Clintons, this entire campaign, have been saying that this is a security inquiry. Just a standard, this is what would happen. Like, this is nothing to see here, obviously. And there may be something to see here.
Yeah. And then we also got some details about what may have been criminal that they are investigating in the criminal investigation.
Yes, there was a huge article in the Wall Street Journal this week about what exactly emails are sort of potentially criminal in this whole thing. And it's about the drone program. Go figure.
Surprise.
Something to do with like some specific emails in like late 2011, 2012 was while people were on holiday. And so they shared some classified information on a low channel or the low side, which is like the non-classified State Department email system, because they didn't have access while they were home celebrating Christmas.
Do they not have Blackberries?
That's what they do, but you're not supposed to be, I don't think that those are technically, you can't have classified email. I don't think that those are considered to be something that you can like, I think, right?
Oh my God,
right?
You guys, I would love a job where I couldn't do my job outside of the job.
Yeah. I know, right?
What a dream.
Yes.
What a dream.
Yeah, sounds like great. You can really shut down.
Yeah.
I would contend that the Secretary of State shouldn't be able to just shut down.
That's true.
For the Christmas holiday, I would contend that
Lila Nordstrom wouldn't mind being able to shut down for the Christmas holiday.
I
didn't get that privilege,
but
I'm glad Hillary Clinton and her staff can enjoy some nice downtime spreading classified information on regular
email. There were some emails about a specific drone strike that was being planned starting in 2011. The State Department had the secret arrangement with the CIA that gave it like at least some degree of say in whether a drone strike would be actually carried out or not.
They approved almost all of them, by the way.
Yes. Yeah, except...
the State Department did.
Except a handful of them. So,
super pro drone strikes.
Yeah, but there were some emails that were being shared, that were classified, that were being shared on this channel that they shouldn't have been, knowing that you can't be talking about the drone program just on this
regular
these
email.
Types of channel.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So that, we found out this week, is what is being specifically investigated as to whether that was criminal or not.
And here are some other investigations that are going on in regards to Hillary Clinton's book. They released a new edition of her book, which was, by the way, already that book got... Remember when that book came out and she went on the book tour and like she didn't write the book, so she didn't know it was in the book. And there's been a lot of controversy already with Hillary's book. This is her memoir.
Yeah. Hard choices.
Hard choices.
Yeah.
It used to say... We encouraged, quote, all open market democracies driving towards a more prosperous future to join negotiations with Asian nations on TPP, the Trans-Pacific Trade Agreement. So the original version of the book has like a two-page segment discussing a 2009 conference in El Salvador.
Right, where they were trying,
where they were trying to get everyone on board with the TPP.
For the TPP. Right.
The latest paperback edition of the book didn't have those two pages.
Gonzo.
Took them right out.
Done.
Didn't want anyone to know, apparently, that she was actively seeking to get people on signed on to the TPP, which she conveniently also was a party to writing.
Right. And we now know that they are definitely trying to not tell people how actively involved they were in the TPP, because the International Business Times put in a Freedom of Information request back in July of 2015 for all of Clinton's correspondence in regards to the TPP. Mm-hmm. They're trying to figure out what she did, you know, because she's been waffling on this the entire campaign. Yeah. So they wanted to get to the bottom of how involved she actually was. So those requests with the State Department usually take between like 150, 200 days. They were told in July 2005 that the request would be ready by April 2016. That's still a little longer than, but it wasn't ridiculously out of
longer.
The realm of, I would contend that April 2016 is potentially when they thought that primary might be over, because I think a lot of people thought that,
how
all of everybody in her campaign was saying that it was going to be over in March?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
April is the month that comes after March.
Thank you for that lesson.
Forgotten.
Yeah.
So, now we just found out that they are not going to release that until the end of November, which will have been over 400 days. So at least twice as long, unusually long. And also just, you know,
slightly after the election. Over. Yeah.
Yes. Now, you might be wondering why anyone cares about that. And it's because she's running against Donald Trump.
And he's against the TPP.
Who is against the TPP. And he caught wind of this and obviously ran with it.
Obviously.
And he said, The Trump campaign demanded that the State Department release Clinton's TPP-related emails. They referred to Clinton as the outsourcing candidate. And said that she was intent on ramming TPP down the throats of the American people. This is one thing that I probably would contend that Donald Trump
is right about.
Is probably couldn't be more right about.
I mean, she literally wrote it in her memoirs.
Yes.
It wasn't a political memoir. It was a life memoir.
She called it the gold standard of trade agreements.
Yeah, as we recall.
So, I mean...
In fact, I think there were something... Remember that time we read a list of like 60 times she had said something nice about the TPP? It was like a long list of times that she had complimented
exists.
The TPP.
It's a thing. You can find it online. If you
I don't know where we
Googles.
Found it, but use the Googles. Find out.
Yeah.
Oddly, there also have been... I mean, not oddly, but unsurprisingly, there have been a number of GOP officials who... many of whom align more with Hillary Clinton than Donald Trump, who have been trying not to endorse Trump in endorsing him.
Right.
Partially because of policy like this. They're all free traders, too. Like, partially because, partially because of the bigotry, but partially because he doesn't really represent their conservatism the way that they'd like. So now we have a list of hilarious, contorted endorsement statements from a whole slew of Republican figures.
Yeah, contortion endorsements.
Yeah.
Here's a list.
Begins with Rick Perry.
Yep.
He's not a perfect man, but what I do believe is that he loves this country and will surround himself with capable, experienced people, and he'll listen to them. He wasn't my first choice, wasn't my second choice, but he's the people's choice.
Peter King from Peter King, New York.
Who's from New York and very openly has hated Trump this whole time.
He said, this is a close call, but I feel to stay within the party and to have a role to play and to try to frame the policies, I have to endorse the nominee of the party. But it's not with enthusiasm.
Mitch McConnell, Senate Majority Leader. I have committed to supporting the nominee chosen by the Republican voters, and Donald Trump, the presumptive nominee, is now on the verge of clinching that nomination. Like, they're all basically announcing that they've planned to endorse the person that they plan to endorse whoever won the thing, and Donald Trump won the thing. Like, none of them are saying they're endorsing Donald Trump. Yeah. They're endorsing whoever won the nomination after, and Donald Trump is who won the nomination.
Paul Ryan, we've already talked about this. I think we did a whole story about that last week.
They have more common ground than disagreement.
Yes. Tim Pawlenty, Minnesota. Former Minnesota governor.
Slash person people always talked about running for president who's too boring to actually run. Oh, yeah, I guess he did
last time. But he was too boring to be a candidate.
Exactly. He ran.
Right. He was also a former mullet haver, so he can't be the president.
No, exactly.
There's pictures of him with a mullet.
Yeah, it's so like those Paul Ryan pictures. Over for him. You can't, can't unsee it.
Yeah, he said, I'm going to support the nominee. It's going to be Donald Trump. I certainly don't agree with everything that Donald Trump says or the way that he says it, but I'm going to support the nominee.
I'm digging my own grave, but I'm going to do it.
Nikki Haley, Donald Trump hater. By the way, like a known Donald Trump hater. Yeah.
But she has great respect for the will of the people, you guys.
Yes.
Uh-huh. She's always said she'll support the Republican nominee.
There it is.
Brian Sandoval.
Yep.
I have a tremendous amount of respect for Governor John Kasich and believe he would have been a great president. Now that he's dropped out of the race, I plan to vote for the presumptive nominee, although it's no secret that we don't agree on every issue. Elections are about making choices, and the Democratic nominee is simply not an option. That was like Mike Pence's thing where he was like, Donald Trump is a great man, and that's why I'm voting for Ted Cruz.
No, it wasn't vice versa. Oh, right.
Yeah, this is from back when he endorsed Cruz by endorsing Trump.
Yeah. Sorry, right, yeah.
Asa Hutchinson, governor of Arkansas. He doesn't agree with everything Mr. Trump has said, nor has he would he endorse every policy he's announced, but he believes that the Republican Party's fiscally conservative approach to the government and values we stand for are greater than what the other side has to offer. He basically is like, I don't agree with Trump on anything, but voting our party is better in general.
Yeah.
Shelley Moore Capito?
She's the new senator from West Virginia. She said, I would express concern about some of the tone and some of the remarks that he has made in the past and how important it is in this time of seeking unity that we speak with one voice and we show respect to all segments of the population. What? Well, that's not what he's doing.
No, and then she goes, I'm going to support the Republican nominee. Right. Absolutely. For the major reason that I believe party unity is really important. Yes.
John Huntsman, I'm surprised, is on this list, actually.
I know.
Knowing what we know about Mitt Romney, which we're going to talk about in just a second, that not that they're the same person, but they're sort of like the same brand of person.
John Huntsman is more reasonable.
He's more reasonable. He's further to the left than Mitt Romney even is.
John Huntsman is basically a Clinton Democrat.
He
just, for some reason, he's a Mormon, so he couldn't bring himself to actually vote
Democratic. He said, if he's the nominee, I'm a Republican, and I tend to gravitate toward whomever the nominee is. Come on.
Don't gravitate towards
that. Yeah, seriously. Trent Lott, former U.S. Senator, he said he's going to become a much better candidate than expected.
Oh.
That was back in May, so I think he might be... He's become a worse candidate than people expected.
Right,
Yeah. And Tom Cole, who's a representative from Oklahoma, said, I think he is a work in progress.
And in that sense, you were right. Of something.
Yeah. I was heartened this week to see a lot of Republicans, including the leaders of, you know, Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell, both pretty intensely denounce Trump's Mexican judge comments because they're racist, which, I mean, they're literally the definition of racism. He says that the guy can't do his job because of his ethnic background, which is what racism is.
Correct.
So a lot of people, I think, you know, some of these statements that we just read to you were from the span of the last month, and there was some new spin on those this week because I think that really pissed some people off. They realized that they can't, you know, be the big tent party that they claim to be
if they have a guy walking around saying this shit.
Yeah, exactly. But he's been saying similar shit to this for the last
I don't know if they just came to this conclusion. They haven't been paying much attention.
Right. I know. Did they just find out that he's actually a racist? Because that's shocking.
I know. I just thought this whole time he was just not sure what he was saying.
I know,
now
right?
I realize he's a racist.
I know. Yeah.
After he's
boy.
Continues to call Mexicans rapists, but I'm shocked that he doesn't think they can be judges. Like,
I know.
What are you saying?
I know.
Mitt Romney, one Republican who's not having any of it.
Good for Mitt.
He's talking about voting libertarian.
Yeah. He's going to vote for Gary Johnson. Well, he doesn't know Gary Johnson, but
he knows Bill Weld because he used to be a Republican and the Massachusetts governor.
Massachusetts governor. They've held the same job. And yeah. He was like, if he was at the top of the ticket, I would definitely vote for them. But he's going to get to know Gary Johnson.
Yeah.
But he said he really is not. And yeah, he's speaking not very forcefully this. Yeah. about this. And he's done it in the past, so this is not surprising. But he's continuing to. He's not one of the people who has initially said never Trump and then said, actually, maybe I didn't mean never. Right. Never say never. He's not a never say never Trumper.
He's not like a believer. Trump believers.
Exactly. He said, I don't want to see a president of the United States saying things which change the character of the generations of Americans that are following. And he said, presidents have an impact on the nature of our nation and trickle down racism, trickle down bigotry, trickle down misogyny. All these things are extraordinarily dangerous to the heart and character of America.
The only trickle-down I believe in is trickle-down economics.
I was just about to say, I mean, trickle-down economics is as dangerous as trickle-down misogyny, too. I would
It's racist, bigoted, and misogynistic. Yeah. But okay, we get what you're saying.
Yeah. So we'll see. He might be a libertarian this time around.
It's interesting. Mm-hmm. It's a fun time. He's not going to vote for Clinton. He said that.
Right, and he's not going to enter the race himself.
Yeah. Meg Whitman denounced Trump.
Right, like,
remember her?
Stop pretending like we care
about
what
Meg Whitman thinks. No, yeah. We're over her.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, some interesting news starting to break that's related largely to a feud between other billionaires.
Yeah.
And Mark,
or maybe
and
non-billionaires, depending if you believe Mark Cuban, because
right.
he doesn't
Mark
think
Cuban
Trump is
and
a
Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Basically, so one of Trump's favorite talking points is that he is self-funding, so he's not beholden to special interests, and
right.
you know he's stopped saying that a lot recently, but that was early on heavily a part of his rhetoric.
Yeah.
There's a reason why he stopped saying it recently, right. and it's because he's had to start playing ball with the Republican establishment,
That
has meant he doesn't have a fundraising operation to speak of.
He's not gonna,
he has received money, but not in an organized fashion,
right. Well,
and he needs more money than he has to run for president.
And he is also, I think, what he has realized recently too is that. He got a lot of free, you know, like
media,
something like
yeah.
free media. And he's going to continue to get that free media. But the media has turned on him a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, they never were necessarily like talking him up as like a great person. But I mean, just recently they have sort of, I think they're having a moment where they have collectively been like, wait a minute.
What did we do here?
It's our job as like, you know, the fourth estate to make sure that this person doesn't become president.
Yeah.
Like, I realize that they're not supposed to necessarily get politically involved.
I think his antics are getting less newsworthy because it's like, he had a rambling speech where he said racist things.
Yeah.
What a surprise.
Yeah,
like, it's not newsworthy anymore.
Right, exactly.
He does that every fucking day.
Yeah. But he's not going to be able to, you know, you have to raise almost $1 billion.
Yeah.
And if he claims to be worth $10 billion, the Bloomberg did a report earlier this year that thinks that he's less than half of that. Mark Cuban himself thinks that he's much less than even that, because he went on a Twitter tirade and he apparently has claims that he's worth much less than that.
Yeah.
And I have always said that I thought that that's what
was going to be in his tax returns.
Because I never felt like he cared whether he paid taxes or not. And I would contend that if he didn't pay taxes, that just sort of fits into his narrative of being like, I know how to game the system. I can fix it.
Right.
I have always thought that what's in those tax returns is that he's poor.
Yeah.
And that's what he's worried
about.
He doesn't want people to know that he's not worth $10 billion
exactly.
or $1 billion for that matter.
By the way, that would be the only logical outcome of someone who's gone bankrupt four times.
Of course.
Of course he's poorer than he says he is.
He doesn't care what his tax rate was. He cares whether people know whether he's poor or not.
Yeah, and he is.
He's not poor, but I mean,
poor
you know, whether
a rich
he's
person.
Poor for a rich person.
Yeah,
exactly.
He's a poor rich person.
Yeah.
But part of Mark Cuban's Twitter rant was that because of this, Trump would have to start taking money from other sources.
Right, and he's right,
and
because we found out this week that's exactly what's going
to
happen.
Exactly. Trump has already started teaming up with the RNC to launch a more traditional fundraising operation.
Right. And beyond that, he's also apparently like courting wealthy potential donors more directly. He's apparently having like this big event where he's going to have like a bunch of high-powered lobbyists come and like pitch him on their special interests. So he's like having people come in. He's calling it the Trump Leadership Council, but it's basically just lobbyists coming in to be like, we'll give you,
to buy him
a couple
off.
Million dollars if you can make sure we can keep, you know,
drilling,
fracking everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's basically what this is.
Yeah.
So,
I like that how openly he's doing this, by the
right?
way.
I know.
I just have a plan, and all the special interests will come, and they'll come to my meeting, they'll give me money, and
we'll call it a leadership council.
Right, they'll pay me, and I'll do what they ask.
Right, exactly.
I'll do them favors.
Yes.
This isn't corrupt, guys.
No.
This is just how it works.
That's right. Yeah.
Like, what a crazy nonsense. Oh my God, you guys. By the way, our hero, Medea Benjamin, is back
in action.
She's
back at it.
Trump went to the Faith and Freedom Conference this weekend.
Is she like a shapeshifter or something?
Because how? She's like a good witch. She's like the good kind of witch.
I know.
Medea Benjamin has gotten into every major Republican political event of the last century, the as far as I can tell, and gotten dragged out screaming.
The fact that every political event doesn't have, like, a wanted poster of Medea Benjamin up is, like, shocking to me.
Bonkers.
Like, don't let her into your event. I'm glad she's there, but, like...
Thank God. But Medea Benjamin has basically been dragged out of every Senate hearing and House hearing that has ever taken place.
I know.
And then on top of that, she was dragged out of the RNC last time. Yeah. She's been dragged out of every major political gathering that has happened... in, like, the last decade. And still, somehow, Medea Benjamin got into the Faith and Freedom Conference and got arrested and dragged out after heckling Donald Trump.
Donald Trump during his speech. So good.
How did she do it? How did she do it? She's like a pint-sized genius terror.
Yeah, and then Trump was like, freedom of speech, please, freedom of speech. Very rude, but what are you going to do? And then he said, it's very sad, very, very sad what's happening. What's happening in our country is so sad. We're so divided. Such a shame. And by the way, these are professional agitators.
In this case, he's right about that.
He recognized her. How come nobody at the door recognized her?
Well, I doubt he recognized her because he's probably never been inside of a Senate hearing.
Well, maybe.
He hasn't spent much time in government. Yeah.
She's probably...
I'm sure she's heckled him before.
She probably has.
She's heckled everyone. Yeah. She's literally a professional agitator. The best kind.
Right.
She... I want to know what her rap sheet looks like.
Code Pink, right. Yeah.
It's anti-war. Yeah. I want to know what her rap sheet looks like. It's got to be epic. I mean...
I know.
She's been arrested at...
Oh. All the places.
I feel so proud that I've met her.
You should.
She's the most exciting person you can run into on Capitol Hill. And by the way, if you're on Capitol Hill, you'll see her. Right. She's there.
She's like the Kim Eaton of Capitol Hill.
She's the Kim Eaton of Capitol Hill. Now, all of our listeners don't know that reference. Don't know.
That's fine.
But you get the reference knowing what you know about Medea Benjamin, so everything should be fine. Yeah, so we're excited to see Medea Benjamin.
Kim's been on the podcast.
Yeah, Kim's been on the podcast before. Yeah, she knows every single person in West Hollywood.
That's right.
Is what we're
saying. She's everywhere in West Hollywood.
She's literally, wherever you are, I literally was at a bar that I've never been to that I would never imagine Kim Eaton to be at because she would never go there.
Yeah.
That I randomly had to go to a birthday party at.
Yeah.
And Kim was there.
There she was.
Yeah. She's probably there and somewhere else.
Yeah.
She's probably in all the places.
Yeah.
So that's how you know everyone.
Yeah.
You know everyone if you know everyone.
Yeah.
And you do that by being everywhere.
Being everywhere. Exactly.
In any case, in final news. Our favorite time of the year is here.
We talk about this every year
every
on the podcast.
Year, and we are just as excited to talk about it this year.
Right.
We hear from Alex Jones
that
Bilderberg is back.
I know. In my notes, I was like, it's rare that I'd ever think it appropriate to pull an article from Alex Jones, but it's about Bilderberg, so he's probably better equipped
Bilderberg
than anyone.
Is your personal nightmare conspiracy theory come to life. It's like a fake Illuminati wannabe council.
Yes.
That gets together and like secretly sets a world agenda.
And they can't talk about it.
And they don't talk about it.
Sworn to secrecy.
It's a secret meeting where world leaders set secret agendas together
and
don't
talk. And when we say
world
leaders, we mean world leaders in the sense that like prime ministers and senators and people who run multinational corporations and worldwide banks.
And the media.
And the media, yes.
They're all there together plotting.
Right. Talking about world events.
Yeah. That's a real thing that's happening.
Yes.
We make fun of Beyonce being in the Illuminati.
Yeah.
That's a fake thing. This
a real thing.
Is fucking
the
real.
Bilderberg Convention or whatever. Bilderberg Group. Yeah. That's real.
And they have released their agenda and their participation list.
It's always a vague agenda.
And it's always a vague or participation list because they leave people off the list. Like Angela Merkel is rumored to be going. She's not on the list.
She's not on the list, yeah.
Yeah. The schedule is like, current events are on the agenda. China is on the agenda. Cybersecurity, like things like that, like vague things like that.
And there are things that happen at this where people point to, you know, we don't know necessarily there's no way to know what happens at these things. But, you know, like a lot of people point to the fact that, you know, Bill Clinton went in 1991 and no one had ever heard of who Bill Clinton was.
And then he was the president.
And then he was the president the next year. Now, that could be a coincidence. It probably is a coincidence.
Or
maybe it's
it
not.
It could be because
things
the Illuminati.
Like that, things like that happen at Bilderberg.
Exactly.
Where people go and then things happen and you're like, wait a minute.
They
were just
at Bilderberg.
Who is
that
person?
And
then now they're running the free world.
Yeah.
So it's... You know, it's an interesting lot, the Bilderberg group.
Alex Jones has a lot of special theories about what we can infer from the participant list.
And the list of topics.
Right. He's better equipped than anyone to come up with a conspiracy theory-laden suggestion of what we might hear at Bilderberg.
Right. Yeah.
Lindsey Graham is going. Lindsey Graham's very anti-Trump, so he thinks we're probably going to be talking a little bit about Trump and how Bilderberg can make sure that Hillary Clinton becomes the president.
Right.
By the way... Last year, apparently, Bilderberg, very confident that Clinton would win. It's a problem if the right wing thinks that she is like a fake Illuminati member and they are right.
I know.
I am confident that Bilderberg is trying to get Hillary Clinton elected and believes that that is their right and mission.
I think so, too.
I agree with Alex Jones on that. And I think it's a problem that we agree. I don't think we should be able to.
Yeah.
He discusses. He thinks that they're going to discuss there's a referendum vote going on in Britain to leave the EU.
Oh, that's a huge
Brexit
thing. Yeah, Brexit, right.
He thinks that is something that they'll probably discuss, which I'm not surprised to hear.
Yeah.
He thinks that they're probably going to talk about, you know, how the fact that, I mean, not only the sort of lack of stability in the Middle East leading to a lot of immigration and refugee crises in Europe, and then also just sort of like general economic trouble is going to create the conditions for like riots and civil unrest and how they can sort of wrestle that to work for them.
Yep.
I'm not afraid to agree with him on that.
Nope, me either.
And the participation list, which is, the participant list is long.
It's a long list. It's a lot of people you've never heard of. You've never heard of, but they're powerful in the sense that they're like, you know, the CEOs of like massive multinational corporations.
Exactly.
But there are some, there are members of the press. There of the, some names that you would probably recognize. There were Richard Engel, who's the chief foreign correspondent of NBC News, is going to be there. Lindsey Graham, who we mentioned, is going to be there. Henry Kissinger is going to be there.
He's always there.
He's always on the list.
Peggy Noonan is going, which is a situation. Yeah.
Yeah. That's who you want to be hanging out with at Bilderberg.
Obviously.
Peggy Noonan. Yeah.
That's
what a loon she is, but probably a fun one if I had to guess. I would like to have drinks with her and Ann Coulter.
Yeah. That would be my
dream.
Drinks.
Yeah.
And then a lot of people, you know, a lot of foreign politicians, a lot of people who work with, as we said, banks and big industry and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We have the co-chair of the Council on Foreign Relations in the U.S. going. I mean, it's like.
Yeah. But if you are already having suspicions about, you know, some sort of seedy group of, you know, rich and powerful people making all of the decisions across the globe, then.
Continue thinking that because it's true.
I was going to say, don't fall down the Bilderberg rabbit hole because you'll want to like basically leave Earth.
Yeah. No, Bilderberg is like open season for conspiracy theory nuts.
Totally.
It's like, Alex, this is like the year, the part of the time of the year that Alex Jones lives for.
Yeah. This is the one time that I click on an InfoWars link.
Well, you have to. Bilderberg is so fascinating. Because the first time I heard about it, I was like, how could this be a thing? Like, how is this a thing?
Right,
what is it? I didn't really understand what
become,
it was.
They've even since we've started doing the podcast, they've become more open about it, actually, too, because they didn't used to release the names of the people who were going there. They didn't used to, it used to be a thing that, like, people only, basically, people would say that it didn't exist. Like, this is a thing that has become a little more public. They still obviously don't, you know, claim to be, you know, doing what people think they're doing in the sense that they're like making all of the world's decisions. Like they would never openly say that. But they are sort of like,
make no mistake,
they have a website.
What they're doing.
It's like Bilderberg.com
or we went there last year, didn't we?
I mean, like, you know, it's not, they're no longer trying to say that it's not a thing that exists in the world.
So that's going on. So next week, we'll still have no reports because they don't release any information about what's happened, but we'll still be speculating.
Yeah.
Because that's what we like to do.
Yeah.
There's nothing we like better than an actual Illuminati getting together to, like, actually try to control the free world.
Yeah.
So that's the news this week.
That's right.
Here, some recap points.
Yes.
Don't shoot anybody.
Correct.
If you hate gay people, feel free to stay out of West Hollywood.
Don't go to Pulse or to Pride.
Right. Don't go to anything that has a name like that rage. You know, like anything that sounds like it might be a gay club, just choose to have your drinks at like O'Malley's Pub or something.
Yeah, you're safe there.
There's probably no gays there.
Yeah, nobody's kissing there.
Yeah. And probably no one's kissing there.
No, probably.
It's probably just
everybody's miserable.
Sad men sitting at a bar together watching sports. But I mean, so that's easy.
Yeah.
If you are thinking about voting in California, check your status before you go.
That's right.
If you are going to Bilderberg, email us,
tell us
directly at braintrustapproved@gmail.com.
Yeah.
And we will see you
That's
next week.
That's the update.
There it is.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.